Froggy Friend Show.
Friends, famous Ashley Grant here, and I just want to welcome you to the Bloggy Friends Show. We're so excited to have you join us on this journey of sharing our knowledge and experiences with you. Whether you're a blogger, a content creator, or just someone who's interested in learning more about the digital world, we've got something for you. So grab your notebook and a pen to take some notes, or just sit back and take in all the amazing information and ideas we're about to share with you. Let's get into it.
All right, cool. Yeah. Well, Kim, I'm so excited to have you on the Bloggy Friends Show. You and I have been bloggy friends for a while. I mean, we're talking like
a long time.
A long time. Well, we won't add years to it. We'll say a while.
Date ourselves or
no. No, although there's nothing wrong with dating yourself.
It's been a while, a long while.
It's been a minute. I'm excited to have you on today because we are going to talk about the brand new book that you just released. It is called Empire, A Step-by-Step Guide to Starting a Creative Business. Yes. So, Kim, welcome to the show. Tell us who you are, what it is you do, and all the good things.
Oh, goodness. So I'm Kim. I am originally from Michigan. I am here in Florida. And yeah, I'm a creative entrepreneur, basically. Always creating something. So my current business has been my most successful thus far, I'd say. But I've been creating and doing little side businesses most of my life. I mean, pretty much. That's pretty much the story.
Now, do you want to tell what the business is, or are you
already going to be? Mixology. That's fine. Mixology. So it's a cocktail mixer, little cocktail mixer business. I started it over a weekend a few years back, and it grew so quickly that I was able to quit my job and work for myself.
What inspired you to start mixology?
I like to have that creative outlet. I always have. My husband works a lot, so I wanted something fun to do on the weekend. So I was just kind of messing around with some recipes, and it took off. It's a niche market, wine slush mixes, cocktail mixes that you can make wine slushes out of. It's kind of a new popular thing, so it took off. There's not a lot of products out there like that, so I was able to kind of create a niche market with that.
I love that. It's no secret I like a good cocktail every now and then. I'm sitting here having a rum punch on this lovely Friday afternoon that we're recording this episode.
Yes.
So now, one of the cool things about mixology is that, am I allowed to say that on Facebook you mentioned that you're considering selling it?
Yes. Okay. So I did. I am. I'm in the process. You're allowed to say that. I'm not announcing it huge because I don't want customers to think that I'm not going to be around, because I will be. I'll still be around. But yes, Audrey, she is on the other coast. She is an auction businesswoman. I think she's even more successful than me. I mean, I don't know her really well, but yes, she's going to be the new owner as of April 22nd.
Oh, so this has actually already happened. This is official.
Yeah. I mean,
exciting.
Oh, yeah. I'm still filling orders until the 22nd, so everything is the same. I will still be in the background. I'm not walking away, but it will be hers. So I'm only back away. Yes.
That's fantastic.
It is. I think, honestly, I want to pursue other things, but I think that she's got more of the resources to really take it to the next level, more than I probably could. I'm just being honest about it. I think the brand is great and it's adorable, but she can probably take it to the next level, more polished and professional. That's what I think. Anyway, that's the goal. So she's going to be taking over.
So now she's just going to be taking over the mixology portion. What about all the like the fun stickers fun things you've had on the Etsy store?
Yeah. So she's smart. She picked up on, I don't have stickers right now, but I have a cute little line of t-shirts and aprons that I designed. Right. So she noticed that. She's like, is that part of, I said, well, it wasn't going to be, but we worked that into the agreement. So yes, she's taking over everything.
Oh, wow.
Don't know how she's going to have time to do it, honestly.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. It's something that we all aspire to, right? Like, even though we all get into these creative businesses because it's something we have a passion about. Let's face it, we get to a point at some point where we're just like, okay, I want a new chapter. I want to do something And yeah. So I think it's awesome that you built something that you're actually about to hand off to someone
yeah.
else, because it gives us all hope that any creative idea we come up with, we can at some point pass the torch.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't my original goal, but I'm getting a little older and I feel like I want to do more and have more purpose and study and take some courses. And mixology is 7 days a week for me. I'm always checking my emails. It's a lot and I love it, but I just kind of want to move to in a different direction. I built it up enough that I'm able to sell it, I think, for a decent profit, which is fantastic. I'm sure I'll cry a little when they pull away with all the equipment, but she's just going to be fantastic with it. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So actually, when I wrote the book originally, I wasn't selling it. So that's the new spin. I mean, I described the success of mixology and the things I've learned, but yeah, in the last month or so, the sale is a new thing. So
that's still awesome though. So thanks. with that whole thing, with the whole, you know, creative empire, you know, one of the big things is that the people that listen to the show are usually trying to start a creative business.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, let's face it, blogging is a creative business. So regardless of whether we're talking about starting a blog or a blog-based business, it's still a creative venture. I don't know how much of it you want to get into, but if you'd like to kind of walk us through a little bit of the book, I have done a review on it and we'll leave that mm-hmm. in the show notes below. But but kind of tell me a little bit about, you know, what inspired the book, why you created it, and what people today in 2024 need to know if they want to get into it.
That is fantastic. Great questions. You're good. Okay, so I wrote the book because I'm a writer. I've written a couple of other books. It's what I do. And it's something you know a lot about. It's not easy. I feel like a lot of the books, the how-to books, are very dry and kind of everything's so great. But I was trying to be realistic. There's some downsides to this as well. It's not easy. It can be exhausting. And it's very hard in the beginning. You might be lucky to break even the first year. You know, you might have to put some stuff on credit cards, and it's a lot. It's a lot in the beginning. You just have to stick with it. In the book, I kind of go through, you know, how to do an LLC and taxes and an accountant and the whole process. And I made mistakes in the beginning. I ran out and rented a big fancy store that was expensive, and I hired like 7 or 8 employees. Yeah, no, that wasn't smart. But I learned the hard way. So I'm just kind of sharing. You want to keep your overhead low. I did make some mistakes. I don't think I'm good at managing a bunch of people. I thought I would be, not so much. But yeah, no, it's definitely worth it. I just kind of went through the steps and people that I use as vendors and social media and how often to post and what to post and stuff like that. I pretty much covered that kind of stuff.
So. That's awesome. And it's available on your website, but since the website's being sold, is that going to help you?
So it's on Amazon. Yeah. Amazon. So no matter what, it'll always be on Amazon. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll drop the Amazon link in the show notes.
Yes. Kindle and paperback. I think the paperback is super cute between you and me. Are you a writer too? You're a writer.
I am.
Okay. So I was able to design. It's just so different than the book I wrote with Sophisticates like 10 years ago. There's graphics in the new one, 2024, Canva. I don't know if you've heard of Canva. This new book is full of the cutest graphics. That's clearly it's very female, feminine. But it's crazy how nice you can make books these days compared to 10 or 15 years ago. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I think this book is super pretty. There's like watercolor illustrations and that kind of stuff.
I agree completely. It's an adorable book. And the best part about it is even though it's pretty, it gives like solid advice.
I hope so.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
And I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it.
I appreciate that.
So
I have to write using my personality, as I'm sure you do. I'm not... You know, it's my style is more conversational, so I'm trying to keep it light and fun. That's kind of how I wrote it. It's not like your textbook dry style book.
Absolutely,
like, and
that was That was one of the things that came through as I was reading it, is it was like you were writing it to a friend trying to tell them, like, hey, I know you want to start this business, but here's what you really need to know, girl.
Yeah, here's the ugly truth.
Yeah, let's spill the tea.
You know, I had to be careful, too, not to come off super negative, though, because I could be a little complainy because, I mean, it's not perfect. It hasn't been fun the whole time. It is a great business, but I was trying to keep the vibe positive for the most part. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like Elizabeth Gilbert said. I think she said it in Big Magic. I could have the
Oh, I have book. That book.
I can't remember if it was Big Magic or if it was a different one, but she says, you know, every single business, regardless of what you get into, at some point it becomes a shit sandwich. And you have to decide which brand of shit sandwich you want. Like, how nutty do you want it? How crazy do you want it? And the reality is that no matter what we do, I mean, everything becomes a grind at some point. There's no way to get out of it, because the reality is work is work.
I wish there was a way. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. And you know, it cracks me up because sometimes I'll watch these YouTube videos of these gurus who are like, oh, you can create passive income. You can start this creative business and then just make money while you sleep. I mean, the truth is, if you want to do something like that, it is possible. But you do have to have the ability to manage people, like you said. And a little known fact about me is early on in my career, I was actually managing a magazine. I won't give it the time of day. I will not say its name because screw that guy.
Okay.
But I actually managed several writers while I was working on it. And I hated it.
So for answer your question, was it men and women? Or
it was men and women. And I hated both because... because managing people is just not my strong suit. Right now, I'm working with a couple of writers that help me in my business, but that's the farthest I'll go. I don't ever want a big team again. I like it. Yeah, I like it lean and mighty.
You're smart. So that was a mistake I made. Not that I didn't have nice employees, but it's a bunch of women all in one space, the different personalities. It was so hard. I felt like I was a referee because they didn't all get along. And then, not that they did bad work, but it wasn't me filling the orders. And so I'm always going to be the one that does everything the right way. So if you hand stuff off to someone else, it's not always going to be the quality you want it. I'm trying not to curse. It was a shit show. So, I mean, the product is fine. Everything is great, but this is behind the scenes. So I kind of scaled back, got rid of the big fancy store, and everything's fine. I have one employee. She's fantastic. It was time for me to move on, but it's much too much for me to do by myself. So I had to still have an employee, but managing a bunch of women, no.
No.
No, thank you. So I'm not going to do that again.
Can you give us any kind of hint as to what your next venture is going to be?
Yes.
Okay.
So I am going to be doing business coaching and life coaching. I've got a certification for that. I got it years ago, but I'm going to take some more courses and start doing that. We're having a networking event Sunday with about 100 women, small business owners. So I can give advice. I'll be selling the book. So it kind of goes hand in hand with what I'm doing next. I'd like to help people, whether women specifically, life coaching, business coaching, that kind of thing. So it's my business. I don't have employees. I'm not making products, even though I probably will figure something out on the side because that's who I am. I always have to be making stuff. But yeah, something like that. I think that's what I'll do.
Well, it sounds like you're going to need to start a podcast.
I was kind of thinking that. Yeah. Maybe I'll get a Yeti. I don't know.
I'm forever pushing people to start a podcast because...
Are you really?
I really am because, you know, especially these days, it's not enough to just have a blog anymore. And I know that people poo-poo on me for saying that because, you know, you can still have a blogging-based business, but that has to be the base. You need more than just that because if you're trying to get out there and be seen by the people, you need YouTube, you need...
Question then?
Yeah.
Not to interrupt you, but I'm going to interview you. This is something I'm not good at. I'm not good at... you know, reels or videos of myself. I'm just not comfortable with it. I probably should be. Do you feel like that's necessary?
I think it depends on the business. I really do. Because, I mean, I've seen some people that have faceless YouTube channels and they're killing it. And then I've seen other people that have faceless YouTube channels and no one's seeing them at all. They don't ever get the light of day. But I think it's all a matter of how you do it. It's about the descriptions you put together. It's about the keywords that you're adding. It's about the tools you're using. I mean, right now I'm learning a lot about Cast Magic and I'm obsessed with it. It is
What's
a tool, Cast Magic.
Okay.
Basically, what it allows you to do is if you have a video or an audio file, you plug it into this program and it will pull all the key takeaways out of whatever it is you said. You can then put it into ChatGPT and create blog posts from it. You can create YouTube video ideas from it. I mean, it's a really cool platform that I'm really honestly becoming quite obsessed with.
Is it connected to your blog? Is it your podcast?
It's just an AI generation tool, I guess you'd call it.
What is it called again? I'm going to write it down.
Cast Magic.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll be adding a link to the show notes because I am an affiliate for these awesome people. But any audio or video that you have, even YouTube videos, like I have taken YouTube URLs and put it into the program. And then I can pull quotes from it for articles I'm working on. So it's an amazing, amazing tool that I'm obviously obsessed with. But I don't remember where I was going with that other than to say it comes up with ideas for you.
Okay. Yeah.
So tools like that, tools like, you know, yes, I know that, again, bloggers are going to hate on me because I'm talking about using AI, but using the tools to make your job easier, I'm in. Let's do it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then you make it human.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm listening to you and I'm realizing you're right. Maybe it is necessary for me to take that next step. What I'm going to be doing isn't producing product anymore. So maybe I should do some sort of podcast. I would rather do it with somebody, though, than just me.
You know I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot. I do. And, it's funny because if you're going to do it with a partner, make sure you have everything in writing. That's the one piece of advice I'll give you is you want to know everything from, okay, if we monetize, what's the split going to be? If we're working on this together, who's in charge of what? Am I, you know, recording and editing? Or am I recording and you're editing? Like there's a lot of questions, you know, like with the whole creative business thing, anything that you're going to do, you need a plan for.
And
what do you do if that person no longer wants to participate? Because that's a big thing that I'm seeing right now with podcasters who are starting with their friends and then the show starts to get traction and Johnny's like, I'm bouncing. What are you going to do, Timmy? You know, it's like, it's a very interesting game I'm watching play out.
That is interesting. Yeah. You give me a lot to think about, actually. I feel like I should be interviewing you. Yeah. And how are you finding people to interview? Because you always have interesting people.
Well, you know, I've done a couple different things. Sometimes I'll just put out a cattle call on social media. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite websites right now is actually called Quoted. That's Quoted, Quoted. And they have an amazing platform that they've created where it's similar to what Help a Reporter used to be. I don't know if you're familiar with Help a Reporter. You used to be able to just go and find sources for blog posts and you know, media and all that stuff. But it became really spammy and it became very overrun with AI. But Quoted, you can create a profile on it and become an expert, a source for people. And so, it's amazing. And so
it's for people that have podcasts,
not even just podcasters. It's for bloggers. It's for authors. It's for I've seen everything from, you know, doctors to lawyers to there's all kinds of people on this.
You know, I'm writing everything down.
That is totally fine. I'll send you a copy of this video.
audio.
I'll send you the audio. Heck, I'll even send it to you through Cast Magic so you can see what it looks like.
That would be great. You know, I'm thinking there's going to be a learning curve for me. Here you're interviewing me about what I do, and I'm this expert, and I'm thinking, well, you know, if I do a podcast, there's a learning curve there, and I'm like starting all over. When I give Audrey mixology, I'm kind of starting fresh again because all of that audience and all of those customers are hers now because they want the product. So I'm kind of trying to figure out my next move a little bit. I mean, I know what I want to do, but
The fun thing about that then is you can do what Rachel Peterson did whenever she started making a pivot in her business. She used her own book to figure out her best next steps. And so she literally was going down the line of everything she had already written because you already wrote your playbook. And so now you can just take that and make
springboard.
Your
Yes, I am. I'm springboarding. I see what you're saying. I am aware of that, but I'm like, gosh, I'm gonna have to start from scratch, which is fine. That's fine.
It's the thing, though. That's the beauty of being a creative entrepreneur. No, you're not. You're not starting from scratch. You're starting with all this amazing experience you've already got, and now you're just taking it and turning it into something new.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah,
that's kind of how I've been trying to look at every new venture I go into. Is, you know, I'm not coming into it as I'm not coming into it as a green writer anymore. I'm coming into it as I've got these things under my belt. Now let me tell you how I can make whatever it is you need done better.
Yeah.
So
that's a great way of looking at it, for sure.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to get better at this whole positivity.
Me too. Like I said, with the book, it's positive, but I had to be a little bit of a realist for some of it. So I was like, I go back and reread to make sure I wasn't, you know, being too negative.
Honestly, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing, because one of the things that drives me bananas is these business books that tell you all the pros and they don't tell you the cons.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you get into the thick of it and you're like, why the hell didn't this guy tell me what I need to fix?
I fell into that. I'm like, oh, I work for myself. This is great. And it is great. There's a lot of great things, but oh my goodness, there's stuff that aren't easy either. There's a lot of stuff that I had to
do. You know, the big thing that surprised me that no one told me about you know, owning my own business and working from home, is how lonely it is. Like, girl, I'm like, I need some people I can hang out with. I think that's part of the reason I started the podcast, is so I could talk to people.
Yeah, would you say that makes sense? Would you say you're an introvert or an extrovert?
I used to be a full-on extrovert. Like, that used to be my answer straight out the gate. But after my dad's suicide, and I'd hate to bring it up that way, but it's just the facts. After his suicide, I became what I call an introverted extrovert, where I can be extroverted
to a
limit.
That's how I am.
Yeah, to a limit. And then I have to go into my little cave and be a hermit and recharge before I can go back out. And I think it's because when he died, he took away my bullshit filter.
How long ago was that, Ashley?
It was in 2016. And it was 2 days after Christmas. And the crazy thing about it is I didn't realize how much of a bullshit filter I had until he was gone, and so was the filter. And believe it or not, it's why I quit shooting weddings, because I used to be a photographer. It's why I quit shooting events, because I could no longer bullshit with people and not be an authentic, like, no, I don't like your suit today, or no, I don't like your shoes.
It changed you a little bit.
It really did, because, like, I recognized, this can sound so negative, Nancy, but I recognized, you know, I was living in Tampa, Florida, and yeah. I was an event photographer, and I recognized just how fake people were being, and I couldn't lie anymore.
Yeah, but, I know what you're talking about. I'm a little like that too. I appear extroverted, but I'm definitely an introvert. I kind of prefer to not be around lots and lots of people. But yeah, it's hard working for yourself alone. You're right. I mean. Yeah. Also, I think as we get older, we have less tolerance for BS or petty conversations. That's part of it, too. You know what I mean? I could probably go on that show more so 10 or 15 years ago with sophisticates than I can now. I look for more authentic people. I like to keep my circle small. But you're right about the loneliness of working for yourself. That's true.
Absolutely. And I think that's why I'm always looking for new bloggy friends.
I like that. I like that.
Now, you have mentioned sophisticates a few times, and for anybody who doesn't know, sophisticates was, would you agree that it was just like a women's networking group?
That's it. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what she's referencing. She used to be the leader of a networking group called Sophisticates, and that's how we met.
Yes. I had a book.
Yes.
Guide to Life. Yes. I was referencing that I wrote a book before, and how 2024, it's so much, they're so much nicer now. The technology to write a better book. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's so fun how you can illustrate it. What's awesome also is that with Canva, it also has the magic write feature where it'll give you ideas, like how you can make better designs.
I didn't know that.
In Canva Pro, you use Canva Pro.
In
Canva Pro, whenever you're typing into the search box to create a new design, mm-hmm. you type out the design you're looking for. It will actually generate design ideas based on that.
I like that. Oh, I love that. I get so many ideas from that platform, So that's
And it's definitely helped me
from there.
Yes.
Stickers, yes. Everything. I love it.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of YouTube related content lately, like helping one of my clients with YouTube thumbnails and like different things for social media. And I'll tell you what, that thing has saved me in a pinch. Like if I'm sitting there looking at that cursor and it's just blinking and laughing at me, it gives me something to start with.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yes.
I love it. It's fantastic.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And it comes up with like some of the coolest like blog banners and like different things you can put into your blog post to make it more, to make it more visually appealing.
Yes. When I pivoted over to more of like a business coaching type business, there's all kinds of stuff on there for that too. It's amazing. Social media posts, you name it.
Of everything that you have learned in your X number of years of business, what would you say is the one piece of advice that you wish that you had had when you first started?
Probably.
Or two pieces.
Okay, yeah. So that's a good question. Probably, you know, to stick with it and just be realistic, the first year or so isn't going to be great income, and just to really stick with it. And it's not all great, and it is fantastic. It's ups and downs. That's a really good question. I think that to just, you know, stick with it. It's not always perfect because we're kind of fed a bill of goods that everything's perfect. If you're an entrepreneur, it's fancy, and it's not always like that. It can be hard too, and lonely, because it's your business. And if something goes bad, girl, it's on you if something goes bad, especially if you have employees. That's a lot. And, you know, you're responsible for their income. So you have to make sure if anything goes wrong, it's all you. You're the last one to get paid. You're the one that gets up earliest and works the hardest. And if something is bad, it's kind of on you. It's a reflection. So I think that I wasn't expecting that.
Kim, you're dropping truth bombs left and right. And I mean, you know, it's so funny that we've mentioned a couple times, you know, about managing people. And it's one of the reasons, like the fact that I am so adamantly against it, that I'm obsessed right now with watching videos and reading content on how to be like a one man bander, like a person who's like, what was it called? A one person $1 million business. Like there's a book on, I think it's called One Person $1 million, something like that. But whatever it's called, I'll leave it in the show notes because I can't remember right now. It's Friday. It's not my fault.
It's okay.
We'll blame the eclipse. We'll blame, you know, Mercury retrograde. But
blame that, yes.
Yeah, all of that. It's not my fault at all. I saw a funny, I'm going to go on an ADHD rabbit hole for a minute. I saw a funny meme yesterday. It said Mercury's in Gatorade right now or something. And I'm like, retrograde?
That's cute. Mercury's in Gatorade.
Mercury's in Gatorade. I think she's thirsty. So,
that's cute.
Someone give her some Gatorade so we can get out of this mess.
Oh, that's funny.
No,
that's cute.
Well, from the book, is there anything else that you want to share with people that they really need to know that would convince them to buy it? Like, who should buy this book?
Okay. Entrepreneurs. Definitely creative. I use the word creative entrepreneur because I'm more of an artist and I like to create things with my hands. So it's not boutiques. Someone with a boutique could read this book. Just creative people. I mean, if you're looking to start an accounting business, maybe not. But anyone creative that wants real world advice, it's written really easy to read. Lots of cool graphics. There's a journal section in the back. It's fun. I have a bigger version of it. It's a spiral bound and it's much bigger. It's a nicer version. Those are fun because you can actually write in the workbook. Women, it's definitely, I mean, men can take the same advice, but kind of geared toward women and what to expect. There's lots of steps. If you're selling a product, things to do, things not to do, shipping, you name it.
Well, I'm going to make a suggestion to you that you didn't ask for, but if you want it, here it is. And if not,
I guess,
then
okay.
So you have 21 steps in the book. Okay. What I would love to see you do is create 21 audio or video files of each of these steps and create it as a 21-day course that you drip out and that you sell so that you can actually get people accountability to start a creative business.
You know what? I love that idea. I'm on the same page. I was, before we talked, I was thinking of putting together some sort of course, which goes along with the business coaching that I was talking about. That's a great idea. Audio clips?
Audio or video. I mean, I think that's something.
Audio. You're getting a little ahead of yourself. Let's just do audio for now. Calm down.
Yeah. So you could take these and then transcribe them into emails that you can send to people. That way, once they purchase the course, they get these things stripped out to them every day. You record it once and then just keep selling it.
That's a great idea.
It's how I roll.
I think I'm learning more from you than you're giving me some good advice. I like that. That's really cool.
Well, what else do you want to know?
Well, so I'm very curious about podcasts. Now you've given me an idea. I've got to step out of my comfort zone because I'm used to making stuff.
Yes.
Being behind the scenes, which is putting up pretty pictures. But I really need to do more, even if it's audio.
Well, you can still do the pretty pictures.
Well, I'm still going to do the pretty pictures. Believe me, that's my thing. But I'm aware that I'm a little, I don't do a lot of the reels that I see everyone else doing, and I probably need to.
I haven't done any reels for my personal account that I know of. Like, I've done some reels on the Pampered Palm Cheese page for anybody who knows. I'm creating digital assets to try to make my dog's internet famous. But there's been no reels of me on any of my pages.
Yeah, I fell down the Instagram rabbit hole and watched all of these great life coaches that are doing these cute reels on the beach. And I'm like, you know, I need to up my game a little bit.
Do you? Yeah, I feel like, you know, do what works for you. That's kind of my thing.
Yeah, I like to be a little more low key behind the scenes, but I don't know. I'm going to market myself if I'm behind the scenes and low key.
With really awesome graphics and fantastic audio. There you go.
You know what? You answered my question. That's where I'm comfortable. That's my comfort zone. So I think that sounds good to me.
Yeah, I mean, my mom always said I had a face for radio. So why put it on my now?
Stop it.
I'm kidding. No, she didn't. Mom, if you're listening, I know you didn't say that.
That's funny. I have to tell you real quick. You are in Richmond, Kentucky.
I am.
That is where my husband was born and raised.
Okay.
So...
yeah, I know you were in Lexington recently, and we were supposed to like try to figure out if there was a way to meet up, but I know the time-wise,
that's fine. We try to go up once a year. It's just crazy. Of all the small towns,
right?
You're right there.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of nuts how I ended up here. I was born in Pineville, Kentucky, raised in Tampa, Florida, and because my dad was in construction, and you know, whenever it snows, there was no more construction work, and so he found out there was year-round work in Florida, and so that's how we ended up living in Tampa, Florida. And when I met my husband, we were like, okay, we're never gonna move to Kentucky ever. And then January 2020, right before the pandemic shut everything down, my grandmother passed away, and we went to stay with my aunt for like a week. I think it was closer to two weeks in Kentucky.
Okay.
And for some reason, that particular week, we just fell in love with Kentucky. And we cried when we left. And we could not stop talking about it the whole way home. And I remember we got home. And, you know, this is mid-January. It was cold. And it's mid-January. And we're like, should we move? And it was like, wait, why are we talking about moving? We would never move.
Well, where's your husband from? Is he from?
He's from, he was born in Dunedin.
And raised
in Tampa, Florida. And I remember it was Super Bowl weekend, so February 2020. And again, this is before the whole world shut down. Mm-hmm. And we just made an offhanded comment to my husband's dad, that we were considering, just thinking about the idea of moving to Kentucky. And he goes, it's about damn time. And
his dad said that?
Yeah. And we're like, what are you talking about? He's like, the only reason I'm still in Florida is because you guys are here. And he put us in. And it sold really quickly, and we're like, well, shit, now we got to make up a decision that our minds are. And before we knew it, by the end of 2020, we had an apartment ready for us. And January of 2021, we took the keys and moved in whenever it was snowing. And we're like, what the hell were we thinking?
Well, why Richmond specifically?
Well, all my family is in Brea and Mount Vernon, Kentucky.
Oh my gosh, right there. Yeah.
Yeah. And we couldn't find a place to live in either of those cities. But my uncle worked at Eastern Kentucky University. And he's like, well, there's lots of apartments, you know, there. And I was like, oh, okay. So we came and looked over Thanksgiving, and here we are.
Wow. Do you like it?
You know, I like the fact that we finally have seasons. I like the fact that, well, what's funny is we tried to go back to Florida for a week, and the heat nearly killed us. I can't believe how quickly we adapted.
Yeah, it's hot here, and the summers are really, really tough.
Yeah, and the humidity. Oh, my God. I forgot how sticky it is.
It's so sticky. The summers here are really, really hard. I'm from Michigan, so, yeah, I miss the changing of the seasons. I mean, the cold is kind of tough. But
yeah, Michigan's actually one of the places on my United States bucket list. I want to go to a girlfriend of mine, Tracy, with Food, Wine, Sunshine. She always goes to Lake Leelanau.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, she goes to all the wineries out there. I'm like, I want to go. I'm totally going to
go. You should go.
I'm going to sneak on to one of
her. It's not you, just north of you.
Yeah, it's, I think it's 14 hours. So just as if I was going to Texas.
It's kind of north. Yeah.
Yeah. But we did go to Lake Erie whenever we went to Ohio. That was kind of cool. Like, we went to Geneva, Ohio, and we went to Ferrante Winery there. But I want to go to Michigan. She always posts these amazing pictures.
Please do. Yeah. It's a nice area. In the fall, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know we're going on a little bit of tangent.
I know.
In a while, we're catching up.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay. So my bloggy friends, you're getting some insight into the background of me.
It's fun.
Yes, absolutely. Well, what else of the things that, you know, are in the book do you feel like people really need to hear? If they don't listen to anything else from this podcast, what should they really take away from this?
Ooh, well, that's a good question. I think it's full of good advice. I did drop some personal, little personal stories here and there that I haven't really shared. I don't talk a lot about some things. So there are some things I mentioned that are kind of personal in the book, and I've never done that before. So maybe that's interesting to some, maybe not others. As it would relate to owning a business and why I wanted to work for myself versus working for other people, and the experiences I had working for other people as a single mom over the years. So I thought that was interesting, other than the good advice and the great graphics and the journaling. And I try to push people to figure out what it is they want. I have a lot of questions in there they can ask themselves, kind of guide them along the way, that type of thing.
I love it. And I suspect that as time goes on, especially as you get into this life coaching stuff, I suspect we're going to see an expanded edition of this book. And
I think so. I'm honestly thinking courses, something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially after talking to you.
Write it all down and make it all happen.
I'm writing it down. It was a favor in here.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, where can people find you online since they can no longer find you on Mixology?
Right. Well, so I have Kimberly.Ann.Hendren on Instagram. My personal pages are, I don't care. It's nothing. There's nothing overly personal on there. So people can follow me there. I do have a website now. It's called MindsetCoachingForWomen.com. And my Facebook page, Kim Hendren.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
we have a lot of followers in the show notes.
Yeah,
you will leave all the links so that people can find you and follow you.
Sure.
And if there was anything else that you wanted to share that you haven't shared yet, what would you like to say?
I would just like to, I guess, encourage people that are creative, because if you're creative like we are, it's just in your blood. It doesn't go away. I told my husband, just because I sold Mixology doesn't mean I'm going to not want to create something. It'll just be on a smaller scale and helping people. So I just want to encourage people that are like me, that are creative. We're not all like that, but the people that are my people, like you, just go for it. Do what makes you happy. I do want to say, don't quit your day job. I kind of said that in the book. In the beginning, you can't just quit your job, and it's going to take time. So you might have to do it part-time on the side for a while. That's important too. You don't want to just quit your job.
I agree completely. And
unless you have a spouse that can support you, or, I mean, everyone's financial situation is different, but it takes time. But just go after your dream, because if that's what you want to do, it's who you are, do it. And if it takes time and you have to do it on the side for a few years, that's okay too. I've done that. I used to paint murals when I was a single mom for extra money in schools and hospitals and stuff. So,
that's awesome. I didn't know that about you. That's fantastic.
Thanks. Yeah.
Well, and I think the truth is, like, you know, even if you do go all in and it freaks you out and you realize you need to take, you know, side hustles on the side, you know, side income and things like that. I mean, that's one of the reasons I got into ghostwriting. I was trying to make a name
right.
for myself just with my name. And the reality is, you know, I started doing the ghostwriting because I needed income.
Yeah.
And so I didn't always get the credit, but at least I got the cash and I paid the damn bills.
See, that's true. And yeah, another thing, we're all human. None of us are perfect. We put this persona out there that my life is great. I mean, we just need to be honest. We're all human. We all need to make money. We want to be happy. Life is up and down. So that's basically the gist of the book.
Yeah, and the truth is you can still have magic, even if you're having to take side gigs.
You got to make your own magic, you know? You can't wait for someone else to hand it to you.
Absolutely. And if you can't make your own magic, then get a cocktail.
That's what I'm saying. And rum, is it juice? What are you drinking?
Rum punch.
Rum punch. So just make a rum punch. That's funny.
Well, this was awesome. And I just want to thank you, Kim, for taking the time
to
join me today. We'll leave all of your links in the show notes. And bloggy friends, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, may your page views be high and your bounce rate be low.